Welcome, everybody, to episode 322 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, June 27, 2018. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John James Jacoby. Welcome, John.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Chandler.
I figured I'd throw back to last week, but how's your week going, sir?
So far, it's pretty crappy, actually. It's been a pretty crappy week. How about you?
One of those, huh? Well, it's yesterday. I was really under the weather. I had to work from bed. I just did not feel right. Like I was just the whole day. I felt totally exhausted. So just kind of laid in bed most of the day and wasn't hungry, wasn't thirsty. But you know, after a day of doing nothing, I'm back at it. Had a good night's sleep and everything's okie dokie. And we got some huge news to talk about.
There is huge news that is good news, in my opinion, that is pretty huge. I think it just dropped today, right, this morning?
It did drop this morning, and that news is Studio Breast has been acquired by WP Engine. That's right, WP Engine, a large web hosting company, managed WordPress hosting company, has acquired Studio Breast for, of course, an undisclosed amount of money. But if I was a betting man, we know that Studio Press was making multi-millions of dollars per year in profit. Mm-hmm. We don't know what the books look like, but I imagine Brian Gardner's kids and Brian Gardner's kids' kids probably don't have to save up for a college fund.
I bet they do. Everyone's going to have to.
Again, it is college.
I hope that you're right for everyone that is for all of our friends over at both Studio Press and WP Engine. I hope that you're right, but that isn't usually how these kind of deals go down. I think it's more important that everyone that's at Studio Press is happy with the deal, right? Like, hopefully everyone feels like this is the right move and direction. There's a lot of a lot of lifers there, a lot of long time people still. Nathan Rice, obviously Brian. There's some good people over there. Carrie and I got to hang out with them. Where would it have been? WordCamp US, maybe? I don't know when we hung out. Chicago. They had a bunch of people down for Chicago and got to hang out with them. And again, for what it's worth, nobody even pretended like this was going down at WordCamp Chicago. Everyone was lips zipped tight, so...
Yeah, so Studio Press founded in 2007. And again, this is kind of going back to, I don't want to call it the golden era because we're still young in WordPress's lifetime, 15 years of WordPress. But there's that special sort of area, that time frame of between 2007 and 2009 where a lot of WordPress companies, especially theme shops, like your Racket Genius with the plugins and Studio Press, somewhere around that time, WooThemes, and he had iThemes. And some of these really independent companies that really branched off and became pretty big success stories in the WordPress ecosystem. And now iThemes acquired by Liquid Web, WooThemes and WooCommerce eventually acquired by Automattic. And now one of the last big known independent theme shops in the WordPress space has been acquired by a web host. According to Jason Cohen, who's known as a smart bear over at WP Engine, he wrote this big long blog post on the WP Engine website. And he talks about the sort of history of Genesis and the framework and what it's been able to do to the WordPress ecosystem and the community that has surrounded the Genesis framework and what it's been able to do to propel that company forward. And he talks about how their initial plans going forward is to pump in resources to continue to develop themes, expand and nourish the community around the product, and really put emphasis on the community. And also, he also mentions that how Gutenberg is on the horizon for WordPress, and they're going to make a concerted effort to build the Genesis framework in such a way to where it becomes a shining example of what's possible mm-hmm. with Gutenberg. So there you go. And then if you look at the other side of the equation, Brian Gardner wrote a post, founder of Studio Press, on the Studio Press, that Studio Press blog, and he talks about how the WP Engine just kind of made sense. He says that the company brings the more that they needed and will provide the investment and leadership necessary to evolve and grow the Studio Press suite of products. Brian says that he will continue to serve on the Studio Press leadership team at WP Engine with an emphasis on product development and as a community evangelist. He says that these are areas that he feels exceptionally qualified for, and more importantly, is where he wants to be. And in addition, Nathan Rice, who has done a lot of the development and legwork behind Genesis and supporting it, will be part of the acquisition. He'll be coming over and he will continue to serve as a lead developer of Genesis. And awesome. And something that I liked about Brian's post is that he says, as a founder, it's a bittersweet day for him, but he will admit, but as his colleague Jason Cohen said, WP Engine says that there are many founding moments in the history of a company. And Brian says that this is one of those moments, and he knows it's time for Studio Press to take the next step. WP Engine is the right partner to take it with. So there you have it. And as regards to if you're a customer of Studio Press, it looks like everything is just the way it's going to be. No major changes are in store for now that have been mentioned or that I could see. So if you're a customer, things are probably just going to get better in the long term if you're a Studio Press customer. And as we take a look at the sort of response and emotional responses to this on social media, I haven't taken a look at Facebook, but there's been a lot of discussion about this acquisition on Twitter. And it's, there's some fear in there. There's some excitement. There's some worry. And one of the things that was discussed was the consolidation of things in the WordPress space. And I guess it turns out, I didn't think iThemes would go out as an acquisition to a web hosting company, and I sure as heck did not think that an independent company like Studio Press, based on the success or apparent success from what I've seen, that they were having, that they would decide that acquisition from a web host would be an appropriate route to take. But they both happened. I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. I don't know how anything goes on in this space, but. You know, as we've discussed, WordPress host or web hosting companies, they have the money. They have big pocketbooks. And without them, they're at the top of the food chain for WordPress. And without web hosts, you can't do anything with WordPress. So that's a right. lot of these web hosts are trying to differentiate themselves and become these all-in-one solutions. And what's one of the best ways to do that? Purchase an established plugin or theme shop. That way you could start rolling an all-in-one solution that can compete with the likes of, let's say, of course, Wix and Weebly and Squarespace, where they have these acquisitions and these services tied in together to where you go there, e-commerce, you get everything right there. And that's what some of these web hosts are doing.
Yep. And we have sort of a similar, we have a similar talk about this every time that an acquisition happens, when 10Up was acquiring things and all the acquihires that happened. And we talk about it even with strategic hires, I would say, like Liquid Web has been doing, where they're really doubling down on WooCommerce and those kind of things. Like, and some of the stuff that I saw on Twitter, I think, is probably some of the stuff that you saw, which is like whether or not these kinds of acquisitions are good or bad, or they are a sign of growth. If they're a sign of success or failure, like is it that something was so good that it needed to be nurtured, or that it was so bad that it needed to be saved? And I think that with everything like this, you can look at it either way. You're absolutely right, though, that the hosting companies really are. They are the thing that everything else kind of needs to orbit. Plugins shops, theme shops, service shops, security. None of this is possible unless there is a hosting platform to have WordPress on. And so it makes sense that hosting companies are the ones that are starting to slurp things up. But it's also, I think, a sign of healthy competition that other companies like Liquid Web, WP Engine, Pantheon, everybody else, Pagely, they're all growing their footprint while sort of simultaneously really doubling down on the direction that they're trying to go with WordPress. And so Liquid Web is really concentrating on Woo, and WP Engine is concentrating on themes, and Page Lee's concentrating on performance, and Pantheon is concentrating on developer tools and deployments. Like, everyone is really carving their niche out, I think, pretty strongly. And that's important, because that's what separates people from everybody else. That's what decides which platform that I'm going to put somebody on, or that somebody else is going to decide to be on. And I think we will see, again, more and more of these kinds of strategic acquisitions that will happen. But it's the thing that's scary about it is the bigger that things get, I think I'm supposed to say the harder that they fall, but that's not what I was going to say. I could see you smirking at me, Jeff. The bigger that things get is also the more that we build up on top of all of these things, the more complex that WordPress gets, the more that all of these hosting companies become these bigger, larger, more capable things, is kind of the more isolated or the more fragmented or the more of a walled garden that everyone gets stuck behind. So you think that there's lock-in. I mean, there didn't used to be lock-in with WordPress. We had importers and exporters that let you move everything back and forth between every platform. But when WordPress is the clear and present winner of 30% of the web, how often do you think that people are thankful that there's an importer or an exporter anymore? Can you import or export your data from Wix or Weebly? Can you move it from Shopify to WooCommerce and back again? The answer is usually no, not without an insane amount of development time. And so those are just external platforms, let alone internal platforms between WordPress plugins, WordPress hosts, and so on. And so it's not like there is a super easy way to move your BBPress forum to SimplePress, or to move your WooCommerce store to EDD, and let alone moving a WooCommerce store with all of Liquid Web's cool bolt-ons and services, or everything off of WordPress.com with all the Jetpacks things, and then instantly go to some other platform and have the exact same experience. So for every cool new big thing and problem that we're solving, we are creating like a bunch of other smaller problems that take a while to get solved. So this is potentially one of those things where people that are on or using Genesis but not on WP Engine, do they need to be afraid? Hopefully not. But eventually, 5 years from now, the writing might be on the wall and it might say something different.
And Brian Garner responded to me on Twitter, and he says, quote, "I'll be honest, I never thought StudioPress would have been acquired by a web host either. But over time, it became abundantly clear that partnering with WP Engine was the right decision on many levels," unquote.
Yep. And, so, you know, we don't know numbers, really. The post yeah, didn't have numbers, right? Like, we don't know how many Genesis installs were on WP Engine. We don't know necessarily how many are on every other host in general. And so having exact raw numbers, I think Brian and I looked at some of the Genesis install numbers when we were in Chicago, but that only tells us totals. There's no way to see anything host specific. So
you can always count on Rob New in the WordPress community to play devil's advocate, so to speak. And in his tweet, he says, "I'm sure StudioPress is spinning it as a positive, but WP Engine acquiring them is just another canary in the coal mine of WordPress. A thriving, independent WordPress business has tanked and been fire sold. Don't get it twisted." And that was Robin's tweet. But hold on. In response, Brian Gardner says that he was really sorry to see the tweet, but the truth is that, yes, it was time to make a move that would rekindle some fires. And did they tank? No. The fact that they've been in business for 10 years says something. Was it time for a big change to help move Genesis in a great direction? Yes. So I think if you look a little bit deeper, if you want to, behind those tweets and responses, that maybe there is some stagnant growth, or there is at least some leveling off going on maybe behind the scenes in StudioPress, or they just figured out that where they want to take things, they just either didn't have the leverage, didn't have the people, or who knows what else, but things came together. They realized that WP Engine provided what they needed to take StudioPress into the direction, into the next level. And so, you mean, the acquisition was made.
And his tweet was well put. And it is one half of that story, right? It is sort of the flip side of the coin. And we've talked about it with Easy Digital Downloads, and we've talked about it on the show before with BuddyPress and BBPress too, where install numbers, pure install growth, active installs for the BBs are not really growing at some exponential rate like maybe they used to. When we talked about it before, I don't know if that is supposed to be a sign of success or failure right now, other than it is that the audience of people that is looking to run their own thing is happy or able to continue doing it right now. And there will be other areas of growth and other things will happen. But, it should be
I don't think it's a terrible thing. I mean, I think
I don't think so either.
No, looking at what's going on here, it is just the nature of WordPress has been around for 15 years. You're going to have your success mm-hmm. stories, and you're going to have opportunities to merge and be acquired and acquire. And this mm-hmm. is what things happen in an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. This is what businesses do.
It is a good sign that WP Engine is successful enough to be able to make that move, though, right?
And well, so, I mean, earlier this year, back in January, they just received $250 million more in funding from Silver Lake.
And this is a pretty strategic acquisition and probably the best way, one of the best ways in the WordPress ecosystem for a hosting company to spend some money. I mean, if all this is an investment in the future of your users, your business, everything else, the Studio Press guys have always been good, super top notch, and harder to find a better group of guys. So,
and by the way, WP Engine says that this acquisition is the largest one for them to date. So, wow. I imagine they spent some of that $250 million, a good chunk of it, on Studio Press. So now, you know, and we've seen this happen. I mean, Webhost have been doing this now for a while, and that is creating kind of like their flavor of WordPress. So mm-hmm. maybe they'll have a custom onboarding experience, or maybe they'll kind of, in a way, kind of fork WordPress to be better for their specific systems or their setups. And now, you know, Liquid Web with iThemes, and now WP Engine with Studio Press, and mm-hmm. maybe even GoDaddy has their thing. You know, maybe if you go to these yep. different web hosting sites, these different services, they're going to come with a menu, and you have to choose which restaurant, aka web host, you want to go to with WordPress that provides what you want. Do you want all these cool Studio Press themes right off the bat? Do you want easy integration with WooCommerce and WooCommerce themes right off the bat that works right out of the box? And so there's going to be tight competition now among some of the bigger web hosts, and maybe this is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of acquisitions.
I don't. It is.
What's he going to get acquired? You know, Pippin needs a big fat payday, I think.
No comment. I don't know anything about that.
Okay.
It would be with all the work that we've been doing on all of the Sand Hills software over the course of the past 6 months and year. It wouldn't shock me if people look at it and go, dang, I'm going to buy that because it's all pretty awesome. But I think you're right that this is the tip of a very big iceberg, because this is a marathon for a lot of these companies and not a sprint. And so for every theme company that needs to get acquired, you know, like iThemes was unique in that they had everything but themes after by the time they were done. And so the whole suite of things that iThemes offered is different than just buying Studio Press, which is the Rainmaker, I guess, was a separate initiative or a different thing, but they're just themes. It's not like they're offering security and backups and everything else. And so it still means that WP Engine isn't competing with the things that iThemes brought to the Liquid Web table, or the things that manage WP or security and all these other things that are coming and going. And so you're totally right that might be the way that a lot of people see WordPress for the very first time. And the reality is that WordPress.com and Automattic have been kind of providing that to new users for a while now. When you sign up, you get a Gravatar, you get all of these things that that you weren't necessarily knowing that you were getting, and so you may get that. But I think My heart is still going to hold out for the simpler, easier, basic, turnkey WordPress that lets you get whatever it is that you need to get for yourself anyways, because in a way they're using WordPress, they're, like you said, or like we've talked about before, kind of providing their own flavor or fork of WordPress. But there are people who are still going to want regular old WordPress and not the Liquid Web version or the Jetpack version or the GoDaddy version or whatever else. So hopefully in they're building these things out, they're really not deviating too far from the broth here, because the base is seems to be working, and you know, you don't want to ruin that, I don't think.
Yeah, and in between iThemes, WooThemes, and now StudioPress, we're talking about between 9 to 11 years in the making, mm-hmm. you know, of being mm-hmm. an independent business in the WordPress space, and then, you know, acquisition. It just so happens to be by a web host, but acquisition turning in, mm-hmm. into their exit. Where so now, you know, now sort of looking ahead, who are the people, who are the businesses that will now fill in the now holes in terms of being independent? Who will fill in? Who would take the place of an iThemes or a StudioPress? I don't know. I don't really know.
The bigger that
maybe
all
it's
these
not just one person, maybe it's just a collection of theme shops or something.
It'll have to be. It'll have to be. The bigger that all of these acquisitions become, is the harder that it gets to be independent and the little guy. You don't get to go head to head with Apple and iCloud and Microsoft and 365. They are just too big to go up against, and these big conglomerates will absorb the smaller pieces. I mean, this is how the universe works. You just orbit around and smash into stuff and then just absorb the fallout from it. And so there's something that's pretty natural about this happening, but it is harder to be the little guy. And so there is an audience out there for the little independent guy, but it's a lot harder to compete. So
yeah, and even if you want some of the hard work to be done for you, you would join like a marketplace, like let's say a ThemeForest or whatnot. But that comes with its own, you know, there's a whole set of restrictions. You're building a business on top of somebody else's right. property, and plus there's a bajillion people selling stuff on mm-hmm. ThemeForest. So it becomes how do you differentiate yourself on a when there's millions of other guys, right. smaller right. people, smaller fries surrounding you on that surface.
That's right. And Morten, the last time he was on the show, had alluded to kind of how susceptible that WordPress can be to outside influences whenever it needs to be. And so because we are a community of volunteers, it's sort of built by whoever shows up, that which, you know, Matt said and other people have said before, but it when the bigger that these influences get, the more GoDaddy is involved, the more that Liquid Web is involved, or at any time that someone can come in and yield their experience is a good thing. But there is the risk of these companies looking and feeling and being too involved, that kind of breaks outside the comfort zone of the community, much like Microsoft buying GitHub. It's shocking. It doesn't seem like a thing that will or should happen or work, but in the end, nothing may change and it might just be better for everybody. You really don't know how it's going to shake out. We know how we've seen it happen with other companies, but we don't know what's going to happen with the rest of these. So you're absolutely right, but it's more susceptible with WordPress because we invite these outside influences. We want these individuals and companies to tell us what their issues are and to help make WordPress better for everyone. And because we rotate through leads and release cycles, that everyone is able to come in and influence the direction that WordPress itself is going to go, for better or for worse sometimes. And so who knows, maybe we'll end up with corporate WordPress sponsor lead releases where WordPress 6.0 will be the GoDaddy release that has whatever it is that GoDaddy is trying to achieve, as an emphasis. We don't know.
put you on the spot a little bit, but Carl Hancock on Twitter, one of the founders of Rocket Genius, says that web hosts are eating WordPress as they've already ate WordCamps. And I'm like, zinger! And I'm thinking, oh, but you know, he's not entirely wrong.
No, he's totally not wrong. I don't think he's wrong at all. And whether that's a good thing or a bad thing depends on the host and the reception and what they're trying to make and do and everything else. So I don't know. The best thing that could happen is that WordPress gets so big and scary for folks that someone forks it. And then we end up with a true, smaller, independently led fork of WordPress that it goes in a different direction that has a different, better audience. You break a piece off and you go and you run with it. So
what would you know about forking WordPress? I mean, you didn't do a presentation on it.
I'll talk about it at every episode, right?
That's right. Well, anyways, huge congratulations to Brian Carpenter, Brian Clark of Copy Blogger Media, Nathan Rice, and of course, Jason Cohen and the folks over at WP Engine for the acquisition. And, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, within a year or two, how things transition, where things end up. And, you know, if Brian is still at the helm of the ship there as part of the leadership team. Yep. And, you know, as I found out recently, you know, two founders of companies that were recently acquired are now no longer at those companies, which I think is normal. I think usually founders say they want to stick around, but things change, things happen. Mm-hmm. They have other opportunities, or they want to pursue other ventures and they end up leaving. But so I want to see if Brian sticks around for at least another 2 years or so and really see how this acquisition plays out.
Mm-hmm. Well, these kind of deals, we don't know what the deal is for the individuals. It's nobody's business. And so sometimes these deals end with a vesting period or options or stock or a payout for staying for an extra year or two. That's not unusual with deals like this. And you don't really, it's not unusual for, I think, people that are the go-getters or the innovators that start their own companies that have their own vision. I don't think it's unusual for them to get bored at a bigger company because bigger companies do move more slowly. And so it's not like WP Engine acquiring Studio Press changes everything overnight. It may not change anything in a year. Nothing may change. And so it might be more employees or more capital to invest in more developers or more leadership or marketing or whatever else. But if you're an innovator and what you want to do is kind of change the world, usually a huge company isn't the place to do that for an innovator type of personality. So it kind of says a lot about the person more than it says about the company or the deal or the individual or anything else. So I agree. I wish everybody the best. I think this is a healthy type of relationship and acquisition to have. Growth is good and everybody's rolling with it. So I'm happy to see.
When are you, as an individual, going to get acquired by a web host? Is that on the table? Are you available for purchase? I don't know. That'd be huge news. Hey, we have acquired Triple J.
So it's funny that you mentioned that because I do think of you know, like having a job is it is a commitment. You are committed 100% to and you should be committed 100% to whatever the initiative is that you're hired to do. And if you're not in it 100%, then
don't look at me when you say that.
I have to look at you. You're the only person I can see right now.
All right, thank you. Okay.
I am looking at you. But it's the same thing. It is the same thing with the tavern, right? It's the same thing with any job, not just WordPress work, but any work. Is if you're hired to be a barista or a manager or a CEO or whatever it is, your job is to show up and put in your hours and do the job that someone is asking you to do. And if you're not in it, or you're not committed to it, then it's not the right job for you. And so, you know me, I mean, I've talked about it before too. As much as I'm independent, I really enjoy working with Pippin and the rest of the folks at Sandhills. And
well, come on,
he's got like world's greatest boss coffee mug. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, of course.
And I enjoyed working at Tenup, but my heart wasn't in it the way that everybody else's was. And I enjoyed working with Automatic, but the individual
makes a huge difference when a person is 110% into it.
Right. And it's not like I didn't try. It's not like they didn't try. It's just it wasn't the right thing. And so the best thing to do is to stay friends and make sure everyone's happy and move on from stuff like that. And so it's not – if you handle it gracefully, all this stuff doesn't matter. It's all small potatoes anyway. Everybody is – you're just as acquirable as anybody else is, Jeff.
Thanks. No, that makes me feel valuable. Well, I apologize for listeners a little bit out there, but this was huge news, so we had to spend some time on it. In other acquisition news, this happened last week, Automate Woo has joined PressPress. So Dan Bitzer, who is the lead developer of Automate Woo, which does handles email marketing, I believe, automatically in your WooCommerce install, plugin has been acquired by PressPress. It will become part of their family of WooCommerce products. He will also be joining the PressPress team and will continue to lead the development of Automate Woo. And he talks a little bit about the story and, kind of very similar to the StudioPress mm-hmm. story where he wanted to do more with his product. He needed a bigger team to realize his goals and his visions for the product. He couldn't do that solo, and he ended up meeting with the people at PressPress at a WordCamp, I believe. Cologne, who drove from Cologne to Paris to attend his first WordCamp. WordCamp Europe 2017, I believe. So they got together, started discussing some things there. And, eventually he found out that PressPress is exactly the type of company and they shared mm-hmm. the same values. And next thing you know, an acquisition's happening. So now he'll be able to take Automate Woo to the next level thanks to PressPress. So pretty much the same thing on a StudioPress level, but maybe on a smaller scale. But hey, when you're a lot has to do, these acquisitions have a lot to do with meeting with somebody and then you start talking to them. And next thing you know, you share the same values, you share the same desires. And wow, we would make great partners or, my product would blend nicely in with whatever you're doing. And bada bing, bada boom, step 1, 2, 3. Now we're acquired and let's do this together. As Corey Miller says, let's live life far. We can go farther together. That's what he says.
Yep.
So, congrats to Dan and both the teams over there at PressPress and Automate Woo.
Yep, it's another. I totally agree. This is another one of those big deal sort of mergers, and you never know how these kind of deals happen, WordCamps or events or otherwise. Automate Woo has a pretty nice looking dashboard. Since we've been working on stats stuff for EDD, we've spent a lot of time researching and looking at all of the sort of market competition. Theirs is one of the good ones. So happy to see them continuing to be able to work on what they're doing.
And Tide 1.0.0 beta has been officially released. Now, Tide.
Not the delicious pods that you've been eating.
No, not the Tide. But Tide was announced, sort of unveiled at WordCamp US. And it's sort of a way to use WordPress coding standards and other things sort of built in to help WordPress theme and plugin developers write better code. And so they've been reviewing feedback from WordCamp US. They've been meeting weekly. And they say that Tide's vision is inspired by the proverb, a rising tide lifts all boats, where if they lower the barrier of entry to writing and choosing quality code for enough people, it will lift the quality of code across the entire WordPress ecosystem. So if you go over to its GitHub project page, you can download, check out Tide 1.0.0 beta. This version adds a bunch of technical stuff that goes over my head. Google Cloud Platform, local only option, Lighthouse integration, a lot of cool stuff that I have no idea how it impacts me as a user yet. But there's a lot of things going on here with Tide, including better documentation. But the roadmap I thought was interesting where they're going to be working with the WordPress.org systems team to integrate the PHP compatibility results from the Tide API into the WordPress.org repo database so that it can be displayed on plugin and theme pages. So that'll be cool information to have when you're browsing between themes and plugins. And of course, it's open to contributions and pull requests on the GitHub page. So work continues on Tide, which you were a huge fan of when it was announced, huge. Or you checked it out at WordCamp US.
Yep, it's a big deal. This is the kind of thing that WordPress and plugins and themes absolutely 100% need, because it is the only way to go through the enormously growingly hugely sized plugin theme core code repositories
to try and get the repos from being any more of the wild west of code.
That's exactly right. I mean, this is imagine scanning every single book in the library and then being able to pull out the best ones, or to make all of the other books better thanks to the books that were already written in the best way, and to be able to make recommendations for next editions of books based on the other books that the machine has already read and learned and gotten insight from. And so because we have standards, encoding standards that are now in WordPress, what will be 5.0, there's a lot that can be done here. And I love this because I really have a very signature style to how I write code. Some people will notice it if they ever poke around at like BB Press specifically, but a lot of EDD stuff now and Buddy Press for sure. And so I love this because we will get to sort of decide together as a community what we feel like our signature is. Like, what is our writing style here? We literally will create, I mean, or at least start and evolve our style guide like we've had for a long time. We'll eventually start to kind of score and rate people and plugins and themes and stuff on what that style guide is and how it's met, and be able to watch it grow and change in a real way, and not just this sort of ethereal way that things change on the codex and then you play catch up a year or two later. So I'm a huge fan of Tide. I'm excited to see it hit beta, and having it on WordPress.org is like the best obvious thing to happen. So cool.
Now to round out the show, we got a bit of security news. I hesitated on bringing this up. I'm not going to link to it in the show notes, and I'm not going to link to it on the Tavern, at least not yet. But from Happy John to let's talk about how security issues work in WordPress, John. There's a post by Rips Tech, which I guess is a company that leads security analysis solutions for PHP, and they've published a public disclosure of a vulnerability in WordPress. They call it a WordPress file delete to code execution. And they say that any WordPress version, including the current 4.9.6 version, is susceptible to the vulnerability described in the post. And it says that what you could do is use an authenticated arbitrary file deletion vulnerability in WordPress that can lead attackers to executing arbitrary code. Now, it says what an attacker can do. An attacker with elevated privileges can actually delete certain files like wp-config.php, which is a terrible thing to be able to do, because then you can pretty much wipe out a WordPress install and then install a fresh copy into a remote database and pretty much take over the site. And you could do some other things, and there's a whole post on it. But what's more concerning to me, other than the vulnerability, which they do post a bit of a fix to, is the timeline. And they say that they started back in 2017, in November 20th, they reported the security vulnerability to the team on HackerOne. And it goes through throughout the year, and there was a couple of points in time where he says that there was no response or there's a lack of communication. Then on January 24th, earlier this year, the WordPress security team responded to him, said the estimate time to fix would be 6 months. About 4 months later, he contacted the team again, received no response. Then he sent a Twitter direct message to a member of the security team to make sure that they don't overlook the message in HackerOne. Then about a month later after that, in June, they decided to publish the disclosure more than 7 months after reporting the issue. Now, I've contacted the WordPress security team. There's no comment at this time. However, they are aware of the issue, and they're working diligently to figure out a patch for this. But again, this kind of goes back to, we've talked about this before, is, and on Twitter, you know, the WordPress security team is taking a hard beating because everybody is siding with this post. They only got one side of the story. WordPress security is hard. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, if there was actually a communication breakdown, what they're doing to address this issue. But, you know, on the surface, just based on this post, it doesn't look good. And John, you're a member of the WordPress security team, but if you have no comment on any of this, please say so. But,
I mean, I won't officially speak for the WordPress security team. That's not fair. That's not the role that I play.
These thoughts and opinions represent John James Jacoby and no one else.
Please accept this cookie. Just to,
okay.
But it would be, I feel like it would be pretty irresponsible to not try to say something. I didn't know you were going to bring this up, but so this is not anything that's like pretty polished or well-formed or anything, but at least...
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. And so I remember... So two things. Well, gosh, where do I start? So the timeline is true. I mean, for what was in that post, that is true. It is one side of what's true, but that is what's true. And myself and someone else helped look into this in December. I think it was the 18th, because I looked back on HackerOne to dream up a quick fix. I think it was probably submitted. I don't know when the ticket was or when the issue was submitted originally. I want to say November, but that might not be right.
November 20th, 2017. Okay.
And so in December, we looked at it and kind of dreamt up a fix. And it wasn't a good one, but it was something. And the issue was relatively low. You already need to be an author, or higher, and you already need to be hacking the source of the web page to take advantage of a weird sort of backwards compatibility nuance from before WordPress 3.0 for a screen that no one has seen in WordPress Core since easily WordPress 3.0 or before. And so the fact that they found this, the reporter found this bug, this is like a good one. This is like one of those old, weird, cool bugs for someone to find where you're like, huh, the only way you really would have found that is with a code scanner or by digging in the crates and looking for like old, super crusty vinyl. Like, you just don't find these kind of bugs because it's on a screen with a variable that is no longer used anywhere in WordPress Core by itself. It's just the code exists so that any plugins or themes that maybe you're relying or using this old thing will continue to work. And so it was pretty low priority at the time. And like some of these kinds of security issues will be, they are low priority because the only way that anyone will abuse them is when they are already an authorized author or higher, and they are trying to maliciously damage or deface the WordPress installation, and that WordPress installation is on a server that actually allows for those files to be deleted. And
so again, you got to have multiple ingredients in place to execute this vulnerability. It's not just Wild West. Right. You could do it from anywhere, whatever.
So the thing that I think personally that is interesting about the way that security research works, and I'm speaking very generally, which is not fair, but the way that this post depicts this issue is really the worst case scenario of, like, here is this scenario. I will cast this magic spell at it. He'll paste this giant blob of code in Inspector, and then look, I've magically taken over this entire WordPress install, and I'm reinstalling it in new WP config. And that is the worst case scenario, but that should not be what is possible on a public web-hosted WordPress type of install. Like, it might be, and it can be, and I'm sure that somewhere in the world it is, which is why generally it really stinks to have security issues like this one publicly disclosed before they're sort of privately responded to, or at least privately handled. Because if nobody knows about this, then no one will ever know about it, and it is totally a non-issue. The second is it does become an issue, and now the security team, and this is every security team, not just the WordPress one, but everyone that works on any software, has to drop everything and scramble with resources that they may not have at the time to scramble.
This is a low priority, but then public disclosure makes it,
it is not so much instant, low priority anymore. Instant priority. And so the other thing that has a tendency to happen with...
Communication breakdowns, apparently.
So the communication part of this is really difficult to talk about. And okay. I will talk about it a little bit because
we've talked about it before.
Well, I'll talk about it a little bit because I think that as a community of WordPress people, technology people, internet people trying to do better, that this is one of those things that we can talk about generally enough where it needs to be talked about, is that security is support. And the majority of what the security team does, at least the WordPress security team, is respond to support tickets. These are individuals that have identified a very specific kind of problem, and their livelihood is based on our response time, on our ability to provide bounties to what they find, to fix things, and so on. And so there is an economic element to this also. But just like in the support forums or in Slack or on Track or GitHub or in any other relatively sort of public or available venue, if there is a sort of etiquette and not necessarily a code of conduct in all ways, but there is sort of an expectation on the way that you are going to talk to people or and when that doesn't happen, it makes it really difficult for people to volunteer to get beat up by other people. And so I think, and again, speaking myself, just looking at this, but in general, when you look at the forums or moderators or anything, that it's very natural for people to look at the way that people talk to your entire group, not just publicly, but HackerOne or in other places, and go, I can't handle that. Like, I cannot have someone openly blasting me all day, every day, and show up to volunteer to do this. It takes a very specific kind of personality and tolerance and patience, and not just the technical ability of actually solving the code bugs in a security issue, but also just the psychological load of de-escalating someone who is instantly mad at you the day that they have met you. And so there is some there is some communication. The fact that tickets like these go unresponded to is because people are just, they're not the chore is no longer rewarding, I think, and is the nicest way to put it, where there are going to be personality issues and communication issues, but it is 100% totally not cool to let issues go unresponded to. I feel bad about that. It wasn't my issue to own, but I still feel bad about it. And I spent most of last night trying to come up with a creative solution to this very specific bug. Have a terrible first pass at a patch, but it will take longer to globally fix than a day or two or three. And so it's a not good thing all around, but this is the reason why there are hundreds of people working on Gutenberg and there are tens of people working on security. It's because people are having a good time working on Gutenberg. They are enjoying themselves. They are building the next cool version of WordPress's posting UI and interface. If someone comes in to treat them poorly or to say something negative, everyone has their back and they're gonna rally together and they're gonna spin them back around and turn it into a good thing. And then everyone's going to have a good time continuing to work on Gutenberg. But the software maintenance side of it, the security maintenance side of it, is not perceived that way right now. We don't have a community of people that go, man, I really want to work on the security team. I really want to contribute to making WordPress security better. Instead, we have folks that come in and just point fingers and go, we told you so. We knew it. We've been saying this forever. You guys are terrible. You guys are terrible. You guys are terrible. And so that does two things. People see how you're treated, and so they will not come help you. And then you or the team feels crappy, and so you don't want to do the job. Like, it's really terrible all the way around. And so,
do you think based on this, this paints, could be deserving, maybe undeserving, sort of black light on the WordPress security team. But as from the WordPress security team, I guess when a fix is addressed, do you publicly address or explain? Do you publish a rebuttal in some ways to this post? Because you see things like this, and it's like, and people start getting on board and start saying how WordPress needs to do better and the WordPress security team needs to do better based on what they see in this post. You know, should there be a rebuttal made that explains what happened in this situation to kind of maybe repair a little bit of the PR damage that might have happened because of this?
I don't think so, but that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best thing to do is to solve the problem,
right,
and then move on to solving more problems. The repairing the PR fallout is temporary, but solving the problem and solving the problem at least is temporary for a longer period of time. So I don't think that we gain a whole lot by responding. Unfortunately, I wish that we would, or that
it's got to be so frustrating to know what's going on and we've talked about this before in the security team that, mm-hmm. Hey, you know, things that can't be discussed because of disclosure, because of things, it's information, things that are not supposed to be out in public or else we'd have a lot more trouble on our hands.
Yep. But
then, you know, the researchers and the reporters have all the power because you have to abide by them. And if mm-hmm. you don't do so in a way that they like, all right, well, we'll just publish the details and then we don't care. It's all on you.
That's right. That is true. And it feels that way, at least right now. And it has felt that way before. But, and I've had we've talked about it at least on the Buddy Press project once before. And I had what was sort of voted on to be the terrible idea of just working on security issues in the public track. Like, there's not a lot of people that are looking anyways. And what do we really truly gain by sweeping some stuff under the rug? we used to pretend like we gained time. We'd get ahead of stuff, and but I feel like that the time that we get ahead of it is that timetable is getting shorter, and people are getting antsier. People's expectations are getting higher that the software is somehow getting better. And the reality is we've seen with Windows, we've seen with macOS, we've seen with iOS over time, every piece of popular software, barring maybe the Linux core kernel and the things that are already pretty solid and great, and even projects like Git itself is pretty neat and relatively stable and doesn't hugely change release over release the way that things like macOS or Windows or WordPress do. But our perception is that these pieces of software are somehow getting better. The reality is that they're only getting different. The stuff that's been around for a really long time is still there. All the old, buggy, quirky things still are quirky and are there the way that they've always been there. We do just keep building more layers and interfaces and things on top of the old sort of buggy, weird foundations that we have. And so it's easy when Windows crashes or when everyone wants to joke about how Windows 10 is terrible and causes all these problems. And it might be true, and it's easy to say, but that's like not going to one specific restaurant because you had the bad experience you had in Oklahoma that one time. Like, they're different everywhere, and individuals are different everywhere. And so every security team is going to sort of handle all these things differently. And I don't know that the leeway that we used to get, or the, I think everyone's expectations are just too high, or too high right now to have this, all of this security stuff happen behind the curtain the way that it does anymore. I don't think the reality is everyone thinks that that's a bad idea. And so I'm not even saying that my idea is a good one, but I don't know that hiding security issues within a very specific sort of walled area always works. And I think that we're accidentally sort of we're showing people that publicly disclosing what you know will get your issue fixed quicker than if it just sat there and nobody worked on it, which is the wrong thing to teach people. But you have to do it. It is a responsibility out there to do it. And so I, you know, will help and put in whatever hours I can put in to try and contribute to a fix for these issues. And this issue specifically, it's not good, but it's a bigger deal than just this also kind of. There are other, the whole way that the security culture interacts with everyone else is just, it's not super healthy so far. And I would like for it to be better and healthier. And I say this as like an ex sort of teenage security researcher myself. I get that it's a different lifestyle and a different approach to work and a different community and the different values and everything. But this is not a super functioning, relationship so far. And we should try and figure out what a functional one is.
Tulsa, Oklahoma, where everything's closed on Mondays.
Everything is closed on Mondays in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Anyways, there are other things happening in the WordPress community. Lots of fun stuff. Gutenberg 3.1 with tooltips. In fact, Sarah just published an article about that. Check that out on the Tavern. Some cool stuff going on with Gutenberg. Anything else? WP Campus is coming up. That's going to be live streamed for free, so check that out. I think this Friday – Zach Gordon is doing his JavaScript live conference online. It's going to be a virtual conference. It's being streamed for free, so you might want to do a Google search. Check that out. Other than that, you're going to be at WordCamp Grand Rapids this weekend.
I will be at WordCamp for it. It's going to be 100 degrees. And so I'm excited about being in the hot, because we haven't had a lot of hot weather so far in Wisconsin. A couple 80, 90 degree days, but nothing like this. So I'm excited. We're driving. I think we're not taking the ferry. We could take the ferry over Lake Michigan, but I think we're just driving around like we do. I really wish that we would have planned for like going up and around the UP. A couple of folks had recommended that, and that would have been a better way to take a week's vacation in the car and hit up some wineries and breweries in Door County and lots of things.
See the sand dunes.
But I'm excited for Grand Rapids. I like Grand Rapids a lot. So hopefully I will see some folks there.
So when we do the show again next week, you have to give us a report on what it was like to be at a plug-in camp done right.
I am excited to do that for sure. I definitely will.
So you'll be our live on the ground reporter. No, I'm not. You know, in fact, this might be the first year that I do no WordCamps. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
That would make me sad. Why? I get it, but you know, I feel like I like seeing you at WordCamps.
Yeah,
you gotta get you. You're a man of the people.
Yeah, which the feeling was mutual. Anyways. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and every other episode on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JEFFR0. And John?
Twitter and GitHub at JJJ. And WordCamp Grand Rapids this weekend. So hopefully I will see all y'all there.
See y'all there. All right. Until then, everybody, enjoy the rest of your week. Till next weekend, say bye, John.
Bye, John. Bye, Jeff.